Morning, everyone. I am not Pastor Blake Westhoff. Pastor Blake and his wife Susan had an opportunity to get away this weekend, kind of short notice, and he asked me if I'd bring the message today, so it's my privilege to do that. So if you're visiting with us today, my name is Russ Winter. I'm chairperson of Administrative Council, longtime member. Even for members here, I don't get to address you often as Administrative Council Chair, but if you have any thing that you'd like to discuss with Administrative Council, you know, I'm the guy to come to, so just seek me out and share what's on your heart. I'd be happy to hear whatever you want to share. Today's has two scripture, and the first one comes from John 14, verses 25 through 26. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent, will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. And that was Jesus speaking, of course. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 12 through 15, the Apostle Peter tells us, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon be put aside, as our Lord Jesus had made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." So a few times a month, I meet with Pastor Blake on Tuesday mornings. And on September 5th, just about 2 weeks ago, we were wrapping up a Tuesday meeting, and he said, "Russ, before you leave, I have an opportunity for you." Now, in my workplace, whenever a manager says they have an opportunity, they mean they have more work for you. And he said, "I know it's a little short notice, but Susan and I have a chance to go away, and I'm kind of stuck. Would you consider bringing the message on the 17th? And he didn't know it, but that very day, the 5th, I had like an overfull plate, and I was leaving for a two-day conference in New York City, like going from Blake to the office. I had like three meetings, some paperwork to do, and then I was jumping on an Amtrak train in Paoli to Penn Station, New York City. Wasn't sure where I was going, too much on my plate. I said, "Look, I can't commit right now, but if you'll give me till Saturday, I promise I'll think about it, pray about it, and let you know." And he said that was fine. So I get on the train, I get to Penn Station, I jump in a cab. I know my hotel's in Manhattan, I don't know exactly where. But I get dropped off at the hotel, check in, and I'm on the 40th floor of the Millennial Hilton in downtown Manhattan. So if you're like me, when you walk into a hotel room, you drop your bags, you walk over to the curtains that are normally closed, and I fling them wide open, and right below me is the 9/11 Memorial. I think the North Tower Memorial. And I literally gasped, like an audible sound. I had seen pictures, but to view it, especially from the 40th floor of a hotel like that, was an amazing first impression. And then off to my right, I guess is number one World Trade Center Tower, the new Freedom Tower. And it was an amazing view. And I was just overwhelmed with this notion of remembrance. And here we are just a week after the 16th anniversary of 9/11. I'm sure, just like you, I stood there and the events of that day just replayed in my head over and over again. And I felt the first tugs on my heart that I probably should bring the message for Blake. But that was, and I kept having the reoccurring idea that it ought to be on the idea of remembering, remembrance. to remember. And that's why today's message is called Being Reminded. And the reminded part also comes from this notion of to forget, because the things that we need to be reminded of is because God knows our tendency to forget. And there's biblical reasons, by the way, to forget, and they can be related to forgiveness. I started, thinking, I don't want to bring a message that like was just preached. So one of the things that's pretty cool about our website is I can search on words for messages that have been given before that have to do with remembering and remembrance. And it turns out there's a lot of them. In fact, Blake just preached on the 3rd of this month about remembering, but he took a little different spin on it than I will today. So the Bible, turns out, makes over 261 references to remembering and over 55 references to forgetting. And theologians, Bible scholars, and even common sense tells us that the more the Bible talks about or emphasizes a certain word, the more we probably ought to pay attention to it. And the notion of remembering and remembrance is one of the most frequently talked about things in the Bible. And God has made memorials and feasts. The whole Passover Seder is about remembrance, the bitter herbs that represent the bitter tears that were shed by the Israelites while they were in exile, things like this. God knows our tendency to forget. I remember especially when my kids were small, but this still happens. Like, you would say, go clean up your room, and moments later you'd find them doing something else. Like, didn't I just tell you to go clean up your room? Oh, I forgot. And as a culture, we're very forgetful at times. It seems the more modern we get, the more short-term memory we have as a nation. I was struck by this just like 2.5 weeks ago. Houston was still flooded, still decimated, and they still are as I speak. But Hurricane Irma began to form out in the Caribbean, and it looked like it was going to be very powerful. And very, like, in a matter of a day, all the news focus switched to Irma, and you could hardly find anything in the news about what was going on in Texas. And Irma hadn't even really struck anywhere yet, but everyone was saying it's going to be the most powerful storm in history. So as a culture, we can be very distracted. And so God is aware of our tendency, and therefore has caused many opportunities for remembrance. It's interesting that Peter says in the verses that we read that he wants to always remind us of things that we already know. It's strange as a people that we need to be continually reminded about stuff that we know about. I can give one example to all the men in the room with one word: anniversary. I know that when my anniversary rolls around, it always seems to take me by surprise. Thankfully, there's normally some kind of cue that pops up that reminds me that my anniversary is around the corner. But isn't it strange, like, when someone introduces themselves to you, that you almost immediately forget their name? I thought for a long time this was just my experience, but I have found that this is an experience many people have, most people, that unless you're intentional when someone is making an introduction and you make some kind of effort to move that from short-term memory to long-term memory, you'll very quickly forget their name in seconds. I shared first service, I once participated in the prayer ministry that comes up after the service, and there was a lady sat over here, and she came down. She was a visitor. She introduced herself to us, and she asked us or told us what she wanted to pray for, and I immediately forgot her name, and I was like, "Oh God, we lift this sister before you, your daughter in Christ." Because I couldn't remember her name, even though she said it, you know, moments before. I heard it said once that one of the quickest ways to train your memory is to lend people money. Once you lend people money, you'll remember everything about the time and the place. And, you know, one of the things that's become really popular these days, well, let's put it this way, I've become more aware of it, is nostalgia. So there seems to be so much interest in nostalgia these days, whether you grew up in the 50s, the 60s, 70s, for me, the 80s, but people have fond memories of nostalgic. And, you know, not everything was great in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, but people tend to remember, fall back on, or lean on those times. My dad, it's kind of funny, is my dad just recently discovered YouTube. He's 84 years old. And he's like, "Russ, you know about YouTube?" "Yeah, I know." And there's this series, and I've watched one now, so I see. It's a guy that restores steam engines, and not like locomotive steam engines, but the type of steam engines that power like machinery, machine shops, with overhead shaft and belts that you engage. And my dad is fascinated with this show and has watched all of them on YouTube and has started rewatching them and has told me all about them. And the thing that struck me listening to him speak is he was talking about how much it reminded him of his childhood. Steam engine, what he called one-lungers, these engines that run on one piston. He told me all about it. So, you know, what is it about nostalgia? I think that it's easier for people to look back than forward sometimes. You know, it's more hopeful, perhaps. When we look at, like, what's going on with North Korea right now, we don't know. Sometimes it just feels hopeless. And we can get hope and encouragement from looking back. You know, another interesting thing about our memories and this notion of remembering and being reminded is doing some research for this message. You know, science, with all its advancements, don't really have a clear understanding how memory works. Our brains, like the Bible says in Psalm 119, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's so true that, you know, we have average human brain weighs like 6 pounds, and it is so amazingly complex that it can't even contemplate itself, what God has created in the memory. And how short-term memory differs from long-term memory, I shared in the first service where, like, I had this experience a number of times. My commute to work is like 50 minutes, almost an hour. And sometimes I arrive at work and I don't have any memory of the trip. Like, I'm like, here, how did I get here? Like, trying to remember, and I can't. But I had an experience where along the same route I take every day, I saw an accident along the road, 422. And it, you know, it was a couple vehicles involved. And thinking about that in the middle of that same commute, I remembered exactly where it was, the types of cars involved, the people standing along the road, the emergency vehicles, how the traffic was backing up, and people were gawking coming the other way. So in the middle of that short-term memory experience, a long-term memory thing happened to the point where I could even describe it now. So it's just amazing how God has designed our bodies, our memories. In the first scripture that I shared from John 14, Jesus was saying that later the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, would come and remind us about everything Jesus taught us. And this is something that I've experienced. I believe it's supernatural and divine, is because when I've had experiences and opportunities to share my testimony with someone, how I came to know the Lord, many times God will bring to my remembrance scriptures and words that to me just seem supernatural, that I could not remember these things without the aid of the Holy Spirit, that God, through His Holy Spirit, did seem to bring remembrance of those things to me. And after that experience, I walk away like, wow, where did that come from? Like, I didn't even know I had that in me. So God hold true to His word, that His Holy Spirit will bring this to remembrance. And I understand this also, like, you occasionally hear people say that they had a word of knowledge, which I think is a Christianese way of saying that type of thing, that the Holy Spirit made a revelation to them. Now, I've said a lot of things about remembering and remembrance, but God also talks about forgetting and forgiveness and setting aside or choosing not to remember. In Jeremiah 31:34, God says, "I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more." And, you know, that's a little strange when you think about it, because, you know, this is God, the creator of the universe. He knows everything. He can't be taught anything. Yet, you know, He chooses to forget. When someone comes to know the Lord Jesus and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, Scripture teaches that when, you know, we leave this world and pass on to eternity and appear before God, when God looks at our life, He sees the atoning the price that Jesus paid on our behalf, what theologians call the propitiation of our sins, which means that someone took your place. So Jesus took the judgment on Him that was meant for me. And the Bible teaches that when God goes, you know, judges our life, He sees the atoning price that Christ paid, and therefore we have eternal life with God through that. The Apostle Paul, who grew up in he called himself a Pharisee among Pharisees, meaning that he had the best rabbinical teaching. He was a Hebrew among Hebrews from the tribe of Benjamin. He had all these credentials, but he said that he counted them as rubbish, that he counted them as nothing, and said that, not that I have apprehended that which I have been apprehended for. There was one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on to the high mark and the calling of Christ Jesus. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, possibly the greatest apostle who ever lived, who had all these credentials that he could, you know, hang on the wall, so to speak, chose to forget all that from behind to attain the high calling in Jesus Christ. And, you know, Paul had other things that he would have preferred to forget, that he persecuted the early church. He was, you know, present at the stoning of St. Stephen. So, and every time we take communion, it's right here on our altar. I know this is probably blocked for some of you, but this banner over here has a verse from Nehemiah that talks about remembrance. But every time we take communion, you know, Pastor Blake will say the words we're so familiar with. When you take the bread, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. And likewise with the wine or the juice. You know, this is my blood. Take and drink. This is in remembrance of me. So again, this notion of remembrance is so key to our life as Christians. Billy Graham said of Wilbur Smith, he called Wilbur Smith the greatest Bible scholar who ever lived. I thought that was kind of astonishing. So I looked up what is that Wilbur Smith is, one of his things to do about remembrance. And Wilbur Smith was once asked what he viewed as the greatest threat to the modern church. And Wilbur Smith said, dead orthodoxy, that we become so right that we're dead right. And what he means is that religion has replaced or supplanted relationship. That when we first come to know the Lord and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're enthusiastic. The song that Paul and Livia sung about, you know, doing what you did at first. Jesus, you know, admonishes the churches in Revelation that, you know, that we do a lot of good works, but we sometimes forget, you know, that first and foremost, we have personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We shouldn't become professional Christians. Religion can become legalistic and overly liturgical. Even the word sounds legalistic, right? We want to keep the relationship, remember the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Peter said that in the scripture that we read, that the time for his departure was close. If you remember, Jesus told Peter that, you know, he would meet a demise similar to Christ. And Christian history teaches us that Peter was crucified, and Peter insisted that he be crucified upside down so that he wasn't worthy to die in the same way as his Lord and Savior. But Peter tells us that after my departure, you know, you'll be reminded of these things, that you would always have remembrance of these things. So, you know, I would admonish you to, you know, do you remember your first love in Jesus Christ? Do you work at nurturing your personal relationship with Jesus? And remember that you've been bought with a price. So that's my message. I want to close with these prayerful words. Lord, help us to remember, bring to remembrance by way of your Holy Spirit those things that we need to remember, Lord. And Lord, help us forget by way of forgiveness the things that we really need to let go of, the things that are holding us back, Lord, keeping us from the fullness of a relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us be reminded. Thank you.